History tells us that there was one church for the first 1,000 years of Christianity. And then that church split into two, the Eastern Church called Orthodox and the Western Church called Catholic. Then about 500 years later, several groups broke off from the Catholic Church and divided into thousands of denominations. This event we call the Protestant Reformation. And the church lost about a third of Europe. Every Christian group that exists today, other than the Orthodox and Catholic churches, comes from the Protestant Reformation. This is an historical fact. However, some very fundamental Protestants deny this fact. They say they were the original church, and that their structure, worship style, and beliefs were the original, and that in the 4th century, the Emperor Constantine instituted the Roman Catholic Church, driving the true church underground, mixing Roman paganism in with the true faith, resulting in the various Catholic beliefs that differ from their beliefs. Unfortunately for this claim, the early church fathers in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century, which is before Constantine, confirm all the uniquely Catholic beliefs were there from the beginning and not the evangelical ones. There is not time to quote all these writings. I have videos on my channel discussing various topics, and I have included quotes from the early church fathers in them. Feel free to watch those videos. But here's just a few. Saint Clement of Rome said in 97 AD, "Through countryside and city the apostles preached, and they appointed their earliest converts, testing them by the Spirit, to be bishops and deacons of future believers." Nor was this a novelty, for bishops and deacons had been written about a long time earlier. Therefore, having received perfect knowledge, they appointed those who have already been mentioned, and afterwards added further provision that, if they should die, other approved men should succeed in their ministry. Irenaeus said in 189 AD, "Pointing out here the succession of all the bishops of the greatest and most ancient church known to all, founded and organized at Rome by the two most glorious apostles, Peter and Paul, that church which has the tradition and the faith which comes down to us after having been announced to men by the apostles, with that church, because of its superior origin, all the churches must agree. That is, all the faithful in the whole world, and it is in her that the faithful everywhere have maintained the apostolic tradition." Cyprian of Carthage said in 253 AD, "If someone does not hold fast to this unity of Peter, can he imagine that he still holds the faith? If he should desert the chair of Peter, upon whom the church was built, can he still be confident that he is in the church?" Origen said in 244 AD, "This virgin mother of the only begotten of God is called Mary, worthy of God, immaculate of the immaculate, one of the one." A prayer to Mary, dated 250 AD, comes from the Coptic liturgy, and it says, "We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin." The Didache in 70 AD says, "Confess your sins in church. Do not go up to your prayer with an evil conscience. This is the way of life. On the Lord's Day, gather together, break bread, and give thanks after confessing your transgressions." Ignatius of Antioch in 110 AD says, "For as many as are of God and of Jesus Christ are also with the bishop, and as many as shall, in the exercise of penance, return into the unity of the church. To all them that repent, the Lord grants forgiveness if they turn in penitence to the unity of God and to communion with the bishop. See that you all follow the bishop, even as Jesus Christ does the Father, and the presbyter as you would the apostles, and reverence the deacons, as being the institution of God. Let no man do anything connected with the church without the bishop. Let that be deemed a proper Eucharist which is administered either by the bishop or by one to whom he has entrusted it. Wherever the bishop shall appear, there let the multitude of the people also be, even as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church." All of these quotes are well before Constantine became emperor, and I could go on for hours giving quotes that precede Constantine as emperor. But just from these quotes, we can see that the early church was ran by bishops, with the Bishop of Rome in charge. People went to confession, prayed to Mary, who they believed was still a virgin, sinless, and immaculate. And the church was called the Catholic Church. Another major problem with this claim is the fact that the Bible, which all Protestants consider to be the only authority, wasn't settled until the end of the 4th century, after Constantine, by the Catholic Church. Many Baptists and other evangelical scholars themselves say the Bible was settled by the Council of Carthage in 397 AD. They claim it only settled the New Testament because the Old Testament had been settled by the Jews in the 2nd century, consisting of the 39 books that they have, and that the Catholic Church added books to the Old Testament at the Council of Trent in the 16th century. And that's why Catholics have more books in their Old Testament. But we have the list from the Council of Carthage, and it reads, "It was also determined that besides the canonical scriptures, nothing to be read in the church under the title of divine scriptures. The canonical scriptures are these: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers." Does this sound like they're only settling the New Testament? And guess what? Those seven books the Catholic Church has and the Protestants don't have are in this list, as well as all the lists at the end of the 4th century through the beginning of the 5th century. That means the Catholic Church did not add those books at the Council of Trent in the 16th century. The Protestants threw them out. But how is it they claim that the Catholic Church was started in the beginning of the 4th century and is the false church, yet they accept this council at the end of the 4th century by the Catholic Church and say that it settled Scripture? How does that work? How can the false church settle Scripture? Another major problem with this claim is how they try to get around the Catholic Church historically. In other words, to get from the Reformation back to the Apostles without going through the Catholic Church, they claim that the true church went by different names throughout the centuries until today, and now they call themselves the Baptists or whatever. This is called Baptist succession. It was made popular by the book Trail of Blood. Originally, it was to show that the Baptist church is the original church, but the belief has bled into other non-Baptist evangelical churches who have adopted this claim for themselves. To be fair, not all Baptists or evangelicals believe this. In fact, most don't. They are embarrassed by this claim. They accept the real historical account that all churches come from the Reformation and the Catholic Church, and that the Baptist Church was started in 1605 by John Smith. The problem is, when you look into these various groups that they claim are actually the Baptists or evangelicals, it's clear that this is not the case. These groups either clearly broke from the Catholic Church or held wildly heretical beliefs that Baptists and other Christians would find abhorrent. To illustrate this, I've chosen a few of these groups to examine. Montanus fell into a trance and began to prophesy under the influence of the Spirit. He was soon joined by two young women, Priscilla and Maximilla, who also began to prophesy. The essential principle of Montanism was that the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth, whom Jesus had promised in the Gospel according to John, was manifesting himself to the world through Montanus and the prophets and prophetess associated with him. It became clear that the claim of Montanus to have the final revelation of the Holy Spirit implied that something could be added to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, and that therefore the church had to accept a fuller gospel. The bishops of Asia Minor gathered in synod and finally excommunicated the Montanists, probably around 177 AD. Now today, we would call this a cult. The Holy Spirit manifests itself through Montanus, a single person, and a couple of girls that I'm sure he was having sex with, because that's what always happens in these cults. And the Holy Spirit spoke through them, no one else. They were part of the Catholic Church, but then were excommunicated. The Donatists were a Christian group in North Africa that broke with the Roman Catholic Church in 312 over the election of Cecilian as Bishop of Carthage. Its corollary, the belief that the validity of sacerdotal acts depends on the presence of the Holy Spirit in the minister, and that a minister who was not in a state of grace could not administer a valid sacrament. In 311, Cecilian was elected bishop, but he was opposed by many because he allowed himself to be consecrated by a traitor bishop, one who had surrendered copies of the scriptures to the authorities during the Diocletian persecution. The Donatists believed that the sacraments were invalid if performed by a priest or a bishop not in the state of grace. Does this sound like how the Baptist or other evangelical Christian groups operate? They don't believe in the sacraments, nor do they have bishops. This was a schism within the Catholic Church. I always found it odd that the Baptists and other evangelical groups claim these guys because the Donatists were clearly Catholic. The Cathari professed a neo-Manichaean dualism. Cathari cosmology identified two twin opposing deities. The first was a good god, portrayed in the New Testament, and creator of the spirit, while the second was an evil god, depicted in the Old Testament, and creator of matter and the physical world. The latter, often called Rex Mundi, or king of the world, was identified as the god of Judaism, and was also either conflated with Satan or considered Satan's father, creator, or seducer. They addressed the problem of evil by stating that the good god's power to do good was limited by the evil god's work, and vice versa. The Cathari doctrines of creation led them to rewrite the biblical story. They devised an elaborate mythology to replace it. They viewed much of the Old Testament with reserve. Some of them rejected it altogether. The Orthodox doctrine of the incarnation was rejected. Jesus was merely an angel. His human sufferings and death were an illusion. If evangelicals and Baptists are going to say these guys are their Christian brothers, then they owe the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons an apology, because no evangelical I know considers them to be real Christians, and they're not as heretical as these guys. The Cathari or Albigensians believed in two gods, the evil god of the Old Testament who created the physical world, and the good god of the New Testament who created the spirit world, and they denied the incarnation. They denied Jesus came into the flesh. Of course, evangelicals would condemn these beliefs as non-Christian. The fundamental doctrine of the Paulicians was that there were two principles, an evil god known as the Demiurge and a good god. The former is the ruler of this world and the latter the world to come. From this they deduced that Jesus did not take on human flesh because the good god could not have become man. They especially honored the gospel according to Luke and the letters of St. Paul, rejecting the letters of St. Peter and all of the Old Testament. These guys have very similar beliefs to the Cathari or Albigensians. Again, no fundamentalist Christian, Baptist, or otherwise would say these people are true Christians if they were around today. They denied monotheism, declared the two-god system, as well as denying the incarnation of Christ. They also threw out huge sections of Scripture. The Paulicians and the Albigensians were simply repackaged Gnosticism. It was Gnosticism that kept rearing its ugly head throughout the centuries, not the Baptists. Novatian was a priest or deacon of considerable learning who had been trained in literary composition. He acted as secretary for the Roman Church during the persecution of Emperor Decius in 250 AD. Believing that it was both a mistake and beyond the authority of the Church to absolve apostate Christians of the grievous public sin of idolatry, he was ordained Bishop of Rome in opposition to Cornelius. Novatian believed that the role of the Holy Spirit was solely to be the source of blessing given during baptism. Novatian was in the Catholic Church, and then he became an antipope. He set up a counter-Roman Catholic Church with its own hierarchy. They had the sacraments, just not for lapsed sinners. And they believed that the sole purpose for the Holy Spirit was to sanctify baptism, nothing else. Which means they believed in baptismal regeneration, which is counter to the modern Baptist denial of it. This was a schismatic group who broke off from the Catholic Church. Now, don't take my word for this, do your own research. And some might be saying to themselves, well, those are flimsy sources, Encyclopedia Britannica, World Book Encyclopedia, and Wikipedia. But here's the thing, these are accepted mainstream sources. And if you're going to deny all of this, what is your source? Your pastor, your preacher, the Trail of Blood? Those are not credible sources of history. I'm sorry, but they're not. And what I presented is the accepted historical account. All churches come from the Catholic Church through the Protestant Reformation or the Schism. If you're going to say that's not true, then you have the burden of proof. You have to present credible evidence to the contrary. And some will say, well, yeah, history says that because the Catholic Church wrote the history, the winner writes history. And that's true. But that makes Baptist successionism a conspiracy theory. Now, I don't have a problem with conspiracy theories. There are a few that I believe might be true, but it's because they have credible evidence to support them. I have looked into this claim of Baptist/evangelical successionism several times, and there is absolutely no credible evidence to support it. You can't say, well, it's possible, so therefore it's true. If your only basis for believing the Baptist successionist view is the Catholic Church got to write history and my pastor said it's wrong, then you really need to do a little bit more looking into this. Until my next video, God bless.